Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Did you know that a recycled aluminum can uses 95% less energy to create than making a new can from scratch? That's a lot of saved energy. It goes to show, the more we recycle, the better it is for our environment. When you recycle right, it really makes a difference. Head to recycleright.org for all the information you need to learn about the benefits of recycling in Franklin County. That's recycleright.org.
Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though I could have a fresh new weave in and you could push me into a pool and I'd say, ha ha ha, I love wasting money. My guest today, oh, you know him from SNL, you know him from Broad City, High Maintenance, Awkwafina's Nora from Queens, Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt, also hosts a podcast called Las Culturistas. Ooh, ooh, it's Bowen Yang!
Wow! Hi, Nicole Byer.
Hi, hi, hi. How are you?
I'm okay. I am fresh off of, and I truly just think this is coincidental, and it's such wonderful timing. I just finished a 90-day fiance before the 90 days tell all.
Okay.
So I was just very excited, and then I was like, oh, I'm talking to Nicole tomorrow, and so. This just feels very synergistic. Yeah.
Yes, I think it is. That's a good word. Synergistic.
I mean, I don't think it's the right word for this. I don't think there's synergy just feels like corporate to me now, I guess. But
sure.
I just mean it's like wonderfully, what's the word? Oh my God. Wait, I know it. Fortuitous, perhaps.
Yes. Okay. Fortuitous. Yeah. Another word that's like, maybe I know what it means. Maybe I don't.
And who cares if either of us do?
Who gives a shit? So wait, this was before the 90 days. Who were the couples?
So this was, I should say that for the longest time, I have been very intimidated by the entire empire that is 90 Day Fiancé.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but I feel like this was the year to kind of just cherry pick, do your little, your tasting menu. But I remember watching season 2 as it was airing. So that was the first season with Darcy and Angela, I think.
I love Darcy.
Love Darcy. And so then I just finished season 3, where it was the second Darcy and Angela season, Darcy and Tom and Angela and Michael's second, like, sort of redux.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Avery and Omar, and you had Rebecca and
Yes.
And, it's the classic Caesar season.
Caesar is perfect. Caesar is incredible. Caesar meditates before riding his bike to the nail salon. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you have to get into it.
You really do.
When they're promoting the Discovery Plus app, they're like, the whole 90 Day Fiancé universe. And I was like, is this like Marvel now?
Well, like, can I say that the tell-all was truly mind-blowing for me? I mean, it's the only one that I've seen. I didn't finish season 2. So this season 3 tell-all, what it felt like an Avengers moment where I was like, oh, they're interacting with each other. And they're all in the same room. This is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite spinoffs from 90 Day Fiancé is The Family Chantel. People sleep on The Family Chantel, but in the second season, Pedro, Chantel's husband's mother, so Pedro's mother chases a man in a park trying to hit him with her purse, and he yells back, "What are you doing? You're a good Christian woman." And I was like, you guys don't understand this. This is funnier than what anybody could write in a writer's room.
Yes, absolutely. Wait, what is, can you describe, I don't know what The Family Chantel is.
Okay, so Chantel and Pedro, I believe, are season 3 or 4 of 90 Day Fiancé. They have a very tumultuous relationship. Chantel's family thinks Pedro's family is just fishing to find someone to come to America.
Uh-huh.
And her mother, Karen, is a woman who says things like, "That really made me upset to the power." And then you're like, what power? What are you talking about? She's got all these little isms that never make any sense. She's like, she's got a victory garden, a koi pond, and she's like, she's iconic in her own way. I think everyone named Karen is iconic. Karen from Potomac is iconic. Do you watch Potomac?
I do watch Potomac. Karen, beyond my wildest expectations, came out as my favorite this season. Like, I did not care for her in seasons past. This season, something clicked. I think it was when she returned to her farm, to her family farm, that I was like, oh, we're getting the origin story. And this is actually so sympathetic that I love her now. And the way Giselle got walloped at the reunion, I was like, this is her just desserts. I was like, this is so humiliating. I've never seen someone this humiliated at a reunion.
Receipts that are... her ex-husband's not really her boyfriend. Andy Cohen was like, let's all talk about how we hate Giselle's fashion. And everyone was like, yes, it's bad. And Giselle just had to take it.
The cutaways to her just looking fully flabbergasted and just like, she's like, I don't know. There were moments where you were like, oh, she doesn't know how to respond to this, which you never expect from Giselle. She usually has like some quippy thing to say, but like, she really was speechless, and it was exquisite to watch.
She spent years just like getting in on Karen, being like, is your fragrance real? You don't care to look at these smells for your fragrance.
Right.
And then, you know, La Dame is thriving. I have a bottle. Do I like it? No, but I bought it. You know? So, like, I gave Karen her money. Uh-huh. And then every hue, where's every hue? It's not everyone's hue.
Where's every hue? I mean, I'm a fragrance person, and I'm this close to pulling the trigger on La Dame. I should just do it, right?
Give Karen money.
For my tableau of scents, yeah.
Yeah, I will say, it's a little heavy. It's heavy. It's a heavy fragrance for a woman who wants to walk in the room and dominate the room.
That's Karen. That's Karen, baby.
Yes, it is. It's Karen in a bottle.
Who are some other iconic Karens?
Let's see. I mean, just
Carpenter.
Those two for me.
Truly
just those two. I don't know anyone else named Karen. Karen from Babysitter's Club.
Sure. I blurted out Karen Carpenter earlier.
Who's
icon.
Karen Carpenter?
From The Carpenters. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Yesterday once more. You don't know Karen Carpenter? That's fine.
Don't
worry about it.
I don't think so.
That's okay.
It's a song? She's a singer? She's a singer?
She's a songer. She's a songstress. It was her and her brother. They were like kind of the White Stripes of their time.
Okay.
Where you had like one like silent sibling who didn't sing, and then the other one was the vocalist. But... there are books that are written about her as being like the like East Asian immigrant. I mean, people in Asia love her because she like popped off around the time when like Nixon reached out to China, and like Western culture started to seep into like East Asia. Love Karen Carpenter. Is this interesting? I can't tell.
Anyway. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm learning about Karen Carpenter. I'll never say who's that again. here's a question. On SNL, you guys do a lot of like political stuff. Is it depressing to keep up with politics?
At this point, I just fully, I don't know if dissociate's the right word. I just don't really pay attention to what's going on with cold open stuff. In terms of like political stuff being kind of cordoned off into the cold open, I'm like, great. I don't have to. I usually am not in them. I'm like, I don't have to worry about this. So Yeah, it's depressing. I mean, it's just, it's depressing in the same way that it's depressing for anybody who's like, who has to like, who doesn't have passive income and has to work right mm-hmm. now. That's it. That's it. There's not anything that remarkable on my end that I'm like, this is a different experience and it's unique and it's only me who's experiencing this. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone's in that place, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had shit to do the day of the attempted coup,
right?
And all of it got canceled. And at first I was like, why is it getting canceled? And I was like, oh yeah, like we would all just be somewhere else. Being like, is America still America? It's like better, you know, just watch it unfold.
Like Matt and I had to do this like Zoomy thing on the day of the coup, of the insurrection. And we were just like, This doesn't feel right, but mm-hmm. it has to happen in a way. Like, they didn't cancel. I'm glad that your people canceled on your stuff.
Yeah, everything that day was canceled. The only thing I did was Why Won't You Date Me, which was the
You had your live virtual show.
Yeah, but it was so late. It was like, they're gone. The coup wasn't, you know, fruitful. You know, maybe we can tee-hee-hee again. But, man, that day, whew.
It seems, but it's what's kind of whiplashy to me is that like there were some like TikTok comedians I remember on that day who like were posting content before the Capitol had been secured again. Mm-hmm. Like as these people were milling around, like switching flags out, like there were some TikTok people like making little jokey videos about these white supremacists, and people were like, "What the hell are you doing? Stop mm-hmm. this now." But then I was just like, okay, like, I guess that's the right instinct. But then not more than 24 hours later, like, people were back to, like, cracking jokes and cracking wise. And I'm like, uh-huh. what is the turnover? Like, what is, like, the window to, like, make it okay again? Because...
Yeah, that's a good question. I truly don't know.
It's like, there's... Yeah, yeah.
The phrase too soon does not apply anymore?
No. And you know, like I read this, the first time too soon was uttered about September 11th was when Gilbert Gottfried did a show like September 20th of 2001. Mm-hmm. And he made, it doesn't matter what the joke is. I don't remember it, but someone in the audience yelled too soon. And I think that's the first like documented instance of someone saying that about a joke. And like, that's like 9 days later.
Yes.
And
now, truly, it's just like, I can't remember what comic it was, but they had made a joke about, it was a joke about the, oh God, the press conference that was at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was
yeah.
like, for they like appropriated that to like fit a joke for today. And I was like, not too soon. That was years ago, man. You can't bring that back in the picture. We've all moved on.
Right.
If anything, the news moves so fucking fast that it's like nothing is topical because it's done. It's gone. Goodbye.
But aren't we? Isn't it crazy how we're just burying? I mean, we're not saying anything like sociologically new. But it's like, isn't it crazy how we're like burying these unprecedented, I'm so sorry to say that word, but it's crazy that we're burying all this shit within like a 12-hour window where we're just like, okay, we're moving on.
Yeah, it feels wild.
I don't know.
I feel wild almost every day that I wake up and I'm like, we're still inside?
Yeah.
And then there's other people who are not inside and they having so much fun. And I go, am I stupid? And then it's just this really fun circle that just keeps going.
Where would you be right now if...
I mean, I'd be, if it were normal times, hopefully just getting back in the country from like a New Year's vacation. Me and a friend, we like to go out of the country for New Year's because it's just like fun to see how other countries celebrate it.
Yeah.
Last year, going into 2020, I was in Italy, which was so, so beautiful.
Come on.
Rome, baby.
Oh, you like Rome? Rome, like, I've only been to Rome and Italy, and I've been told it's the worst place to be out of
really?
All of Italy. Because it's like pure tourist, like, phantasmagoria of tourist shit. But
maybe.
I don't mind it.
I liked it. I've also never been anywhere else in Italy. We did drive, I think, like 2 hours north of Italy to like truly like farmland to go to this castle where we got to eat this stunning dinner.
Great.
My friend Mateo knows someone who literally lives in a castle and it was very fun. But I want to go to like the south of France. I really want to like explore more of Europe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, agreed. I haven't done, I'm not like, I did not like study abroad or anything. Like I didn't have that critical period where you're supposed to like go to Cinque Terre and like buy shot glasses. You know, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I didn't do that either. I went to pretend college where studying abroad wasn't an option.
Yes.
It was like, learn these lines, hit your mark, and you'll graduate with no degree in 2 years. And I was like, coming right up, I'll learn all the lines.
Perfect, perfect. Oh, wait, sorry, hold on 1 second. Are you guys picking up these little pings? I'm going to turn on Do Not Disturb. I'm sorry. Okay,
I didn't hear not one little ping. I heard nothing.
Well, in any case,
wait,
we won't hear them again.
Are you getting text messages?
I know, I'm getting emails. It's not even that exciting. Okay. Anyway.
I love a text. An email is something I get to ignore. And I've truly been ignoring a lot of emails.
And that doesn't like fill you with anxiety up to a certain point, or are you like past that?
You're so crested. Sorry.
No, I love that. I'm so jealous.
I will get back to you when I get back to you. You know, I'm so sorry.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous of my friend Julio Torres. I think like even has you beat in terms of like he doesn't know any email that comes through. He has to he checks in with his manager's assistant to like know what the passwords to his accounts are. I'm like, damn, I want to be that so badly.
I mean, I'm trying. So the end of last year, I was like, let's disconnect a little. Let's not, you don't have to answer every email. Some are more important than others, but they'll just get the answer when they get the answer.
Yeah.
There is no rush. What are we all doing? Truly nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. But then that like in their minds, like opens up this reasoning where they're like, well, then she should respond or like he should respond because like, what else are they doing? I don't know.
I hate to tell you, but I'm watching TV and trying to not go crazy and I'm farming. I have my plants where I call it farming, but truly my harvest is like 3 tomatoes every couple of days. Cherry tomatoes, not even big ones that I could like make a dinner with.
No, but that's huge. Like, I want that so badly for
Thank
myself.
You. My friend Meatball came over. Meatball's a drag queen. She's very funny. She came over and brought me coffee cake. And I was like, ooh, I'll give you tomatoes. And in my brain, I was like, yes, I'm going to give Meatball and her boyfriend each a cherry tomato. But when they heard they're getting tomatoes, they were like, oh wow, we're gonna get like a bowl full of tomatoes. And they really masked their like surprise while they're like, ooh, thank you. And then later people's like, I can't believe you gave me one cherry tomato and Michael one cherry tomato. But guess what? That's the farm I'm running. You get one cherry tomato.
You get one little nugget. People have said, I think Meatball tweeted once that someone yelled at her from the street or from a car, Bowen Yang? And she was like, no. But I think like my doppelganger is Meatball.
That, I mean, she's also my doppelganger. She did a show once where they used my picture as the poster for her. But to be fair, I was in Trixie makeup, so I did look like Meatball. And
sure.
But
yeah,
still,
she does have
like,
the Trixie makeup a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. It's just like the big eyes. And that's truly about it. But you
Perfect.
Could do a little bit of research and realize, oh, this is a woman. this is a person who identifies. This is not a drag queen.
Had that photo been used in other contexts or was it just like people
saying?
No, seeing...
it was just for Trixie's makeup line. And
Great.
That's it. I guess it's floating on the internet and people are like, Meatball, it's wild. I wish people did this. I wonder if it happens to white people. Where, like, they get the wrong name shouted at them?
Yeah, it must. It must. I mean, there was a period for, like, I know it still honestly still happens. It hasn't happened in person, But there was a period of in time for about 3 years when Joel Kim Booster and I were both in New York that someone would be like, I loved your Comedy Central half hour. And I was like, not me. Mm-hmm. Or people would go up to Joel and be like, I loved your sketch in that sketch group. And he'd be like, not me. Like, I'm sure it happens to white people all the time, though. I think on some level, I'm like, that's racist. But then on another mm-hmm. level, I'm like, maybe it is just a thing where human beings look like other human beings. And if Meatball's getting confused for me, I feel like that mwah, beautiful, yeah. like there's no race involved. It's just like we have wide faces uh-huh. and maybe she was wearing glasses that day. I don't know.
Yeah, I used to get confused for Natasha Rothwell. Still mm-hmm. get confused for Dulce Sloan. People will be like, I love you on The Daily Show. I'd be like, I'm not on The Daily Show. People confuse me and Michelle Buteau all the time.
No way.
And I was like, we are fully different. Like,
yes.
She's taller than me. She's lighter than, like, her titties are bigger than me. I was like, we are so different.
Yeah.
But she just sent me a text where someone was like, oh my God, what did she post? It was something about The Circle, this show she hosts on Netflix. Uh-huh. And they're like, this and Why Won't You Date Me? How do you do it all?
God.
It made me laugh so hard. Oh, what a treat. People are just truly the wildest. It's just the like, wildest. Take a second. And then you can also ask. You could be like, are you the person who does X, Y, and Z? And then I could go, oh, no, that's my friend. As opposed to just being like, you do this.
Yes. It's the leap to the assumption or to the.
Yes.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what gets me.
I have a question. Are you dating in quarantine? Are you single?
I'm single. I feel like I have a very Nicole Byer dating narrative where, yeah, just single my whole life.
You've never had a significant other?
Never had anything longer than 4 months.
Yep, we are.
I held up five fingers.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4 months.
7 months. Yeah. Yeah.
Same boat.
Over time I realize that it's, or whenever I'm getting anxious about it, I'm like, it's more common than it seems. The story I keep telling myself is I'm the only person who has this sort of I've just blanked my whole life in terms of dating. But like, I mean, me and Ego Wodum talk about this all the time at work. And then one time, my first season as a writer, her first season as a cast member, we were in her office together. And then on Tuesday night, when the host would normally come to meet you, Sandler came, and then we were both like somehow talk. Sandler was asking us personal questions, like, do you guys have boyfriends or girlfriends? And mm-hmm. we were just like, no, we've both been single our whole lives, and it's actually giving us a lot of like, it just freaks us out. And he was just mm-hmm. like, oh, don't worry about it. That just means you won't have baggage when you meet the person that is right for you. I'm like,
that's like
decent advice, or you know.
That's like, truly a nice way to think about it.
So he was so nice about it. And then he left, and Ego and I were like, oh my God. Like, he just like kind of gave us some sagely bit about mm-hmm. like not worrying about it. But meanwhile, we're still like, you know, anxious. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, don't be sorry. I get anxious too. And it's just like, you can't not, because that's the way society's set up. It's like, by a certain age, you should, you know, have done these milestones. And it's like, oh, I've done other milestones, but just like nothing to do with love or relationships.
Yeah. But
and
then
it's wild to me that you have been single. I think you're a catch. I think Ego's a fucking catch. Like, both of you together. Oh my God.
It's wild to me that like anybody, just in terms of like, if you think about anybody's breadth of experience by the time they hit, let's say, 27. I'm 30, but I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. by the time they hit 27, it's like, no one wanted to, like, hang out with you for, like, a year at least. uh-huh. I don't know. That's what blows my mind, is I'm like, I'm out there. Like, we put ourselves out there. Anytime someone mm-hmm. says that to me, I'm like, I don't think that's the right thing to say.
Whenever people say, just put yourself out there, I'm like, what do you want me to do? Be naked on the freeway? Like, how much more do you need me out? Like, I am out in these fucking streets trying to get it done.
Yeah.
And every time a dude breaks up with me, because usually it's them who break up with me, I'm mm-hmm. like, but I'm the most interesting person you've ever met. And I know that. Because the way you've looked at me sometimes, you're incredulous that I've done, you know, whatever I've done. And you're like, Wow. Like, I'm great. Why do you want to be with someone who's, like, boring and basic?
Can I ask you, when you were... First of all, you were one of the last in-person guests we had on Las Culturistas.
Really?
Which I cherish. Well, you were our first guest on our new network, which was also great. But then at the time, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but at the time we asked you if you were seeing someone and you were very classily like, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to like...
Yeah, I didn't want to jinx it, but guess what, baby? It's done!
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was good until it wasn't. I ruined it. I was like, what are you looking for? And I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. I'll die before I tell a man how I feel. I'll die before I ask him any sort of question that pertains to what we're doing. And... I'm going to like just live in the moment. And if he wants to tell me that he wants more, then that's fine with me. Or if I'm not feeling it and I want to know something more, I'll just break up with him.
But what I've had that exact thing happen to me where it immediately ended as soon as I was like, so maybe we don't see other people, which I like, it makes sense that it would like take a turn, but like there's some like cognitive fallacy or whatever in the way that some guys are like, let me just keep having sex with this person twice a week for 4 months and not think long term, medium term about this at all.
Yes.
That's what I don't get.
Because it's all it is. It's medium term. It's just like, can we do this for a couple more months? I'm not asking for your hand in marriage.
No.
I'm not asking you to fucking move in with me and like take an oath that you'll die for me. Just let's lock down 6 months where we do this. But that freaks fucking people out. And then my therapist was like, Nicole, that's the wrong way to do that. You want to tell people how you feel so like you can get out earlier. And I was like, what if I don't want to get out earlier?
No.
What if I'm okay fucking somebody and wanting more, not expressing that I want more. And maybe it turns into more and maybe it fucking doesn't. I don't know.
Hmm.
I just, I'm ready to get back out there. I'm ready to fuck again. I'm ready to detach my feelings from people. I'm ready to have more issues.
That's good. That's really good. But I feel like I sort of biffed it overall with the winter, New York especially, where I'm like, I didn't get my like second lockdown pal in on time, you know?
Yeah.
Is that a thing in LA? Do you think that's a thing in LA or no?
I think it is a thing in LA. I certainly don't know anything about it. I just I think it's called cuffing season.
Yeah.
And I never really get anyone for cuffing season. The relationships I have are very like arbitrary. Like they just come whenever they come, and then they're all fleeting. That's the one thing they have in common.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, me personally, I'm not like dating very seriously right now until there's like a vaccine. Just because I'm like, what if he lies? What if he's like, I'm negative or whatever? And then LA has like apparently like our tests are faulty. They're not good, and they give you false negatives.
Yeah.
So it's like we're both negative on these fucking tests that give you false negatives. We fuck. We give each other fucking corona, and then like I go to work and give someone corona. And it's too many variables.
Yeah.
And
I was talking to a guy last night, and he was like, I was like, how's your week? And he was like, it's good. Got my first dose of the vaccine. I was like, congrats.
Uh-huh.
And then we got to talking, and then the conversation sort of goes into like what brings you on the app, and he's just like, oh, you know, the occasional itch to scratch, but nothing crazy. And I at this point, what's probably not good public health wise, I'm like, if we've both tested negative within the last 3 days and we have not seen other people in the last 10, I have no problem hooking up with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it a couple times in the last, you know, year, whatever. So, but then this guy was like, yeah, but, you know, I just want to be COVID safe. And I'm like, well, in 3 weeks when you get your second dose, you don't have to worry about that. So he was, so I don't know, he was still being like a little too cautious. A little too cautious when I'm like, you're fine. Like, you'll still wear a mask. Like,
yeah.
Society's not going to go back to normal, but you can at least go out there and like not worry about getting it. For a while.
If I had the vaccine, I would be a fucking whore.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't give a shit. You don't even have to wear a condom. Dump in my fucking asshole. I do not care. I can't go in. I'm going to be such a whore. I can't wait. Like, my hole is ready. She mm-hmm. is tightened up. It has mm-hmm. been a minute.
But anytime I make like some proclamation myself that I'm going to be like slutty, it mm-hmm. never... In my experience, it never pans out that way.
In LA, it really hasn't panned. No, that's a lie. I had like a real slutty year where I was uh-huh. just like, I'm gonna fuck everything, and I did. And then it calmed down because I was working more. But I don't know. I plan to be in New York for like an extended amount of time working on my hour because it's been almost a year since I've done an hour.
Yes. Yes.
So. When I'm in New York, she's gonna be a slut. She's gonna fuck everything.
Oh, wait. For straight people, for women, for straight women, what is mm-hmm. what is the LA, New York distinction in terms of like hooking up with people?
Oh, my God. It's so much easier to hook up with people in New York.
Great.
Because there's no cars involved.
Yeah.
You just like take a cab to someone's house or the mm-hmm. train, but like, let's get real, a cab.
Yeah.
And you just like leave. It's just easier.
Perfect.
In LA, okay. It's like, okay, so I'm going to drive. Oh, my God, there's no parking. Okay. I guess I'll circle for a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's one or two times where I circled and I was like, if I do not find a space in the next 30 seconds, I am texting this person and telling them I have to go home because I ain't walking for mediocre dick. It's got to be convenient. Okay. I want a space right in front of your building. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes. If it were like exceptional dick, then you would have walked.
Oh, if it was exceptional dick, of course I'd walk for it.
Great.
If it was a dick that I knew, a dick that I loved, I would say, mm-hmm. okay. In that case, I would park my car somewhere else, take mm-hmm. an Uber to the house, yeah. and then take an Uber or a Lyft back to the car.
Yes.
I will make the C part for some good dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
Real quick, Bowen, we have to take a break. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Save big money at Menards. Keep your lawn looking its best with Menards' premium four-part fertilizer program. Each step is tailor-made for the health of your lawn. Get started this spring with a bag of crabgrass preventer with lawn food. Apply just once early in the spring to feed your lawn for over 2 months. Pick it up in our garden center today and check out Menards.com for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Legend has it, underneath the NJM insurance offices lies a room of rejected mascot memorabilia. Is it real? No one knows. But we do know NJM is proud to put policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. NJM.
And we back. So on the apps, do you get recognized a lot?
This is the weird thing that I've... that I don't know how to even talk about with my friends. I'm like, because overall, okay, just to answer your question, yes. But then I never am able to read between the lines where if someone's like, and I wanna, and I'm attracted to you and I would have sex with you. Because mm-hmm. people will say, oh my God, great work recently. And I'll be like, thank you. And I'll usually reply and be like, thanks. That's so nice. You went out of your way to say, to give me a compliment. That's objectively on its surface nice. But then I never am able to tell if they wanna fuck. That's it. That's just basically what it is.
It is hard because sometimes people will be like, I think you're so funny. And I'm like, thank you. And then I'm like, should I say something else?
Yes.
Or is it on you now to say something else? It's hard.
And I think the general like thing around like being recognized on the apps that I've that like, you know, a few other friends will say to me is they'll be like, and it really turns me off if someone's like, I know your work. And I'm like, I don't think I'm there yet to blanket say like it. Mm-hmm. I shut it down immediately when they say that, because sometimes I'm like, oh, but wait, you happen to also be attractive to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So sometimes I'm like, I like it. It's a way for it. I don't have to like kind of like pitch myself to them. I don't have to do that part, because if they know who I am, then I'm like, great. I don't have to do the work in terms of like you knowing my deal. But then sometimes it like leads to like these really like terrible conversations where it goes nowhere and they're just like, so what's it like to like work with this person? I'm like, no, you can't do that on the apps or off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it is weird because it's like when you find out someone's say a lawyer, you're not like, what's it like to fucking, I don't know. I couldn't even think of one thing that a lawyer does. What's it like to have a defendant? Yeah.
Nicole, perfect. You should play a lawyer.
Getting dumber as the days go on.
I don't know. I feel like I have four holes in my brain, one for each time I've done acid, and I don't know. I think I'm stupid. I've been lobotomized.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I haven't done acid in forever.
I love it.
I like acid too. I also really like mushrooms.
I need to do mushrooms. For whatever reason, I don't know if this says anything about me. I'm more into the synthetic experience of like, oh, this is acid. It was made in a lab. Whereas a mushroom is like, this is nature's way of like letting you have a good time. Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't even think of it like that. I just like drugs. I like the first time I did acid was in a club. Maybe I've told this story on the podcast. Who knows? I've done so many episodes and I haven't left my house in so long and haven't had any new experiences. So I was in this club downtown. It was this Bulgarian dance bar that just moved locations and you had to be in the know to know where it was going. And it was always on like the Lower East Side or whatever. And I went with my, I think, four friends, and this man he was standing in front of the bathroom and he was like, here, take this. And
wow.
I said, okay. And I took it and I was like, yeah, and we were dancing. And then all of a sudden the club started burning and I was like, looks like it's on fire. Then I told my friend Desi, I was like, Des, this whole club is burning, but I think it's okay. And she was like, what did you take? And I was like, something from the man in the bathroom. And then my friend Julio had already taken something from the man in the bathroom. I guess he was just like handing out drugs and it ended up being ecstasy and acid.
Oh, my God.
And I had a great time. Julio did not have a good time. He was upset that the club was burning. We were like having the same trip, but he was like mad about everything. And I was just like, it's okay with me. And that was the first time I took acid. And I had a great fucking time. I think about that day fondly.
Wow. I'm glad you enjoyed it because it could have gone, you could have had the Julio experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, where he truly was like so upset about it.
Right. I mean, cool. Good on you for doing acid for the first time in an indoor space and with other people, with strangers
with
around you.
With a ton of strangers.
That is, I would say that's not optimal, but the fact that you're able to survive that enjoy it is a huge deal.
I would not be able to do it now. Now, no, give me like a small group of friends renting a house somewhere and I'll do all the drugs, but like not out and about.
No way.
Mm-mm.
I mean, God, wait, this is a weird question. When you do shrooms even, do you look at yourself in the mirror and are you like, because Joel Kimbooster has this experience when he's on psychedelics, he'll look at himself in the mirror and be like, I look crazy. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'll look at myself in the mirror and be like, I look incredible.
I usually will look at myself in the mirror and be like, I am so pretty.
Yes.
I am so stunning. And I'll like stay there and stare at myself. It might just be because like deep down I might have a little bit of body dysmorphia, but it plays the opposite way where I go, I'm so thin until I try to fit into a tiny space and I'm like, I'm bigger than what I thought.
So like the drug takes, yeah. So the drug brings that out in a way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, so what were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. Just that I'm beautiful and I think I'm so pretty. And I don't know. Anytime I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. But then sometimes I will look in the mirror and be like, ew. And then I'll just put on some makeup and be like, yeah. Whatever. I just love making noises at myself.
Perfect. Perfect.
What are you like on drugs?
I am just, and I think this just reflects my vibe overall, even when I'm not on drugs, which is I just hang back. I'm not like, I'm not that rowdy or I'm not that like Matt Rogers will be like fully kaleidoscopically just like loud and he's like, and stuff flows out of him like magic. He'll just like write songs, he'll make up songs and he'll like dance and he'll like play these characters and I'm like, that's incredible. I'm so jealous, but mm-hmm. I am okay with my own frequency being like, I'm just gonna sit and like watch music videos. I don't know. I'm pretty just passive, which yeah, is good.
I think I'm like that too. I am funny on drugs, but like not funny enough to be like, this is something I can use again. Like I created something really amazing.
And I think that's for the best for both of us probably, because otherwise I would just use drugs as a crutch, you know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like when I perform back in the day when we were allowed to perform in front of the people. I would limit myself to two drinks because if I had more than two drinks and then got on stage, it would be loose.
And that's bad?
A little, because you get a little too loose, you start doing crowd work, and then you're like, I have no idea where I was. we're going to have to like sit here while I figure out where I am in my act. And you're like, oh, okay. Then you like start in again, but you're like, but what about this thought? So I think it just exasperates having ADD to just like a degree where it's like this, people paid to see a show. Not a dizzy woman trying to figure out her shit.
Oh, but there's a place for that. There's always a place for that. But I get it. I get
it.
Like I will never perform on drugs. I just can't do it.
I did one show stoned, but it was like a show where everyone was stoned and it was fine. And then I did a meet and greet in Denver, super high. So like,
because it was Denver.
Like my feature was like, do you want to smoke before you do your meet and greet? And I was like, sure. And then I did it. It was so hard to talk to people. They were like, oh my God, I loved your show. And I was like, and I love you. And then I like couldn't stop giggling. And then I was like, oh, I guess they all know that I'm high and maybe I shouldn't be because they paid for this meet and greet. So then I was just in my head the whole time.
No, no, no. Being as someone who's from Denver, I think, and as someone who's gone back to perform there, mm-hmm. and just sit like meet people, I think they are just excited that you're there. And they also understand that you might be in the touristy way stoned and mm-hmm. that the altitude is having an effect on it, maybe, so that you're just like, oh, okay, Nicole's just on drugs and that's okay. We're just excited to see her. Was this at Comedy Works? Where was this?
It was at Comedy Works, which is one of my favorite fucking clubs.
It's so great. I think Chappelle loves it too. That's like one of Chappelle's favorite venues.
Yeah. I think he goes there to like work out his material, but like, I don't know if it is the altitude, but the audiences are so,
they're great,
voracious,
they're awesome,
and they're just like there, they're with you. I had a heckler one of my shows. She was a lady in a wig and a boa, and she was having a great time, and I can't remember what she said, but like we worked it out to where I was like, will you be quiet for like the rest of this? And she was like, no, and then said a couple more things, and I was like, okay, how about now? And she was like, yes. And then she and and I was like, so you just like needed to get that out? She was like, uh-huh. It was, I think I did like 6 shows there, and it was 6 of the most fun shows I had done in a long time.
That sounds perfect. That sounds about right, too. Like, just Denver crowds are, they're just, they will act out up to a certain point, and then they will self-regulate immediately.
Yeah, I loved it. It was perfect. And then where else? I like Portland. Portland is a lot of fun.
I like Portland.
Austin. I fucking love Austin.
Well, can I ask you? Because yeah. I had one solid year of touring. It would definitely not to the same extent as like a lot of stand-ups, but like Matt and I took the podcast across many cities one year, a couple years ago. And I didn't really take advantage of it, but like I did enjoy like flirting, even just flirting with people from like the city. What is your overall like mode when you're somewhere else?
In the beginning of touring, I would like go out, find a fun bar, be at that bar, see if I could pick somebody up. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point where, or like I'd go to a gay bar and have like the time of my life. And then I realized, where was I? I think it was like Springfield. I don't know. It was somewhere in the middle. I went to this gay bar and then a bunch of people recognized me. And at one point I was dancing and I was like, oh my God, I'm like fucking hammered. I think I had done like ecstasy too. And I was like sweating. And I was like, what if someone like took a picture of me and this ended up somewhere? So I was like, maybe I don't do this anymore. Not that I'd be like ashamed of it, but it's like, being messy is not for the whole world to see.
No.
Just for select friends.
Sure. Has that, I genuinely am wondering this, has any of that changed on a societal level since COVID, where like all we're doing is taking like sexy pictures at home and like putting them on close friends maybe? I don't know. Like I am, my threshold for like me being nervous about looking bad or deranged or messy is like maybe a little bit higher. I don't, does that make sense?
Yeah. I like to be able to control how messy I look. I'm okay looking messy. I'm okay being like a friend filming me being, you know, a little sloppy. That's different to me than like a stranger I don't know posting. So like, I can't remember where I was, but Nashville. I have a friend named in Nashville who I met on Twitter, came to my show, was like, would you like to go to a bar? My boyfriend's the bartender. And I was like, wow, you seem nice and normal. Turns out he's nice and normal. He's really cool. I love him. But we were like doing fun things in a bathroom and and maybe I shouldn't say his name. Marissa, will you bleep that with a ba-ba-bow?
You got it.
Thank you. We were doing drugs in the bathroom, and then someone I didn't know was like taking pictures with me. And then
recently
they posted those pictures and tagged me, and I was like, yeah, I can't be doing this with strangers because I don't need a million, you know, pictures of me doing, you know, things floating around.
Right, right. Okay. That makes total sense. I feel dumb even asking the question. The reason I asked was because I was listening to your episode with Matt, and you guys were talking about like filming yourself having sex with someone, but like if it ever leaked, like it would be the end of the world maybe. But like I'm feeling, I think that maybe like with like OnlyFans popping off since pandemic, I feel like maybe people don't give as much of a shit, but maybe that's not fair. Like that's purely a personal comfort thing. Absolutely.
With sex, I'm okay. If a sex tape of mine leaked, I think I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Because especially if I was like doing a great job, you know? And then it's like, you know, someone sees and they're like, wow, she's a real workhorse in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I want that. Would you ever start at OnlyFans?
I haven't. I would be lying if I said I didn't think about it. But I would immediately get a talking to at work. And they'd be like, you cannot do this. They won't even let us do Cameo, you know?
Wait,
and
really?
Like, sometimes, like, beginning of the pandemic, I was like, I like emailed the publicist at NBC. I was like, can I do like cameos for charity maybe to like help out like restaurants and stuff? And they were like, no. And I was like, okay, all right, I get it. Which is, I understand. But anyway, no, I couldn't start an OnlyFans until after I leave SNL.
Well, I mean, sometimes I think about it. One of my favorite people on OnlyFans, I've been trying to get her to do this podcast. She's a very busy lady, but she posted how many followers she had.
Uh-huh.
And then I knew how much I paid. And I was like, she makes like $100,000 a month just from her OnlyFans on top of everything else she does.
God
and
bless.
I was like, what a beautiful life. I mean, I think sex work is real work and it is lucrative work.
Oh.
And it's not for everybody, but like, my God, what a treat.
If you can hack it, then perfect. And it's like, there is something nice and poetic about it, like being the oldest job in the world. And then also it's like, it happens to make you a lot of money.
So much fucking money. And I mean, I couldn't do what she does because it's a lot of upkeep. Like,
sure,
she'll post, you know, videos of her getting her lips done and the Botox and her nails and the hair extensions. Uh-huh. And I'm like, my God, this is like a second job. But I guess it's part of the first job.
It is part of the first job. So you're saying you wouldn't start an OnlyFans?
No, I think it's a lot of work. Like,
if you could do like pole dancing exclusives, That could be fun.
See, that I wouldn't do because pole dancing's for me. And
I'm
not great at it, but I wouldn't want to monetize this like fun hobby that I have.
Makes sense.
But
good for you for having these boundaries solidly down. Like that's something that I don't think I have. I don't know what my boundaries are in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to like bite me in the ass someday soon.
I don't think so. I think with boundaries, you just kind of like learn and like you do, like you say yes enough until you're like, oh, I don't think this works for me. Like my I got an email from my publicist who was like, would you like to do this podcast they record at 8 a.m and I was like, oh no. That's my hard boundary. I can't hop on a Zoom at 8 a.m So I think a lot of 2020 and like the end, no, it was like mostly 2020 was me learning how to be like, no, this isn't worth it. No, I don't want to do this. Here's where I draw a line. And it's been nice.
But you've been working for like, would you say that it took you a while to get to that place? Because I'm constantly in a place. Yeah. I'm constantly like, I shouldn't be saying yes to this. And yet here I am. This not included, of course, but sometimes when it's like, will you do this like, you know, speaker series for this thing? I'm like, I don't, sure. Why not? And it always ends up, it always starts from a place of full ambivalence and being like, I don't know. I don't care. And then once I'm there and doing it, I'm like, I shouldn't have said yes to this.
Yes.
Yeah,
my therapist said, she was like, no good deed goes unpunished.
Right.
So like when you think you're being nice and then you're miserable doing this thing that you're doing to be nice, it's like, were you nice to yourself?
Yeah.
No. So yeah, it's like, it's hard to say no and it feels shitty, but like you feel better not doing the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it did take a while for me to learn. But now that I've learned, not to say that like I'm always correct and I'm always like, you know, throwing out that no all the time. Sometimes mm-hmm. I say yes and then I'm like, oh boy, why?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But it does, you know, make life a little easier. Wait, I have a question. Nora from Queens, is that coming back?
It's coming back. All I can say is that we're doing a second season.
Okay. Well, you're very funny on it.
Oh, thanks, Nicole.
You're so
thanks.
Funny. And it's really lovely to see you fucking bloom. Or not even bloom. It's like you were bloomed and now people are picking the flower, being like, have you guys seen this flower? And it's like, yeah, bitch, we've been seeing it.
Oh my God. Nicole, coming from you, that means a lot. Yeah, I love what you say about Twilight. I think you said this on Solomon's episode or Patty's episode. You were like, you maintain that 2020 was a good year.
Just minus some things.
Minus some things. It was no. And then, of course, it's like the millions of people have suffered in deep ways.
Yeah.
I'm over here just counting like all like my blessings, I guess. I'm just like, oh, like even like a significant other not existing aside, like I'm lucky with what I'm doing.
Yeah, I also feel very, very, very fucking lucky and privileged to be able to be like, I can stay afloat doing podcasts where mm-hmm. like people have like lost their jobs and yes. their homes and
The only sort of consequential thing of the Senate being 50-50 and Kamala breaking the tie is that like state and federal funding gets determined at that level, and like mm-hmm. Democrats will overwhelmingly like just favor like more funding, whatever, more government funding. But I don't know what it means for I'm too dumb to be explaining this to anybody.
I am also super dumb with shit like that because I was like, how come like a dead man with like rotting hands is the person who like decides things?
Yeah,
the Mitch McConnell man. And right. I still don't really understand. Is he still I don't understand. Does he go somewhere?
No, he just becomes the minority leader now. And he's supposed to just represent like what the Republican sort of like point of view is.
Ah.
Yeah, there are like politics experts listening to this who like are fucking hating
like
us.
Furious. They're like, what the fuck? These people know nothing. But here's another question. Like, why do politicians make a lot of money? Or do they not make a lot of money from the government and they make money from other business things that they do? Like,
so that's what it is that they don't make that much money from the government, but they get a ton of cash from like lobbying groups and stuff.
And that goes directly to them?
I mean, essentially, yeah. I mean, it's a whole racket. It's like,
wait, is our government money. A scam?
Baby, yeah. It's it's been the whole time. But I can't even confidently say this to you because I don't know anything about anything.
Me either. We're just two little dummies talking on Zoom. We know nothing about the government. How about you?
Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Nicole. Wow.
Yes.
I really hope that something happens this year. I say it every year for myself, for my friends. Like, I say this to Ego all the time. I'm like, this is it. Like, this is, I feel it for you. One terrifying thing that happened a month ago was she was like, Bowen, set me up with someone. I was like, okay, let me look through my contacts. And the first place I went to was my Instagram contacts. I went through my Instagram follows and it was all cis gay men. And I was like, oh, I can't help her at all because I don't talk to that many straight people and men, forget it. So I'm saying is like, I think like we're aware of the parameters more than we were before, hopefully, and that we will overcome whatever like obstacles are in our way.
Listen, 2021, I'm finding an emotionally available man or person. Doesn't really, I don't, whatever. And they're going to be really great. And it's going to last for however long it lasts. Bowen, I see it for you. An emotionally available man will be there to like love you, fuck you, cheer you on, wipe your glasses when they get dirty.
Yes.
So you can see him clearly, honey. I see it for us. I see it for Ego. I'm a texter when we get done and be like, yes, bitch, we talked about you. We see it for you in 2021. It's going to be magical. I can't wait. We just got to get them little vaccines rolling. You know? Come on.
Yep.
All right. That's it. Bowen, we have come to the end.
Yes.
And I ask people this question all the time on the podcast, but would you date me?
1,000% yes.
Yes.
No question. Thank you. We would, I mean, there are certain people, and it doesn't really have that much to do with how long I've known them or how well we know each other, but like you, my friend Sudie Green, like people who I'm just like, oh, we would be like such a great couple in terms of like all of the domestic aspects of it that I'm like, yes, and that's enough.
I love it. I would also date you.
Thank you.
Bowen, do you have anything you want to promote before we leave?
I want to promote Discovery Plus, where you can watch all of 90 Day Fiancé. The universe.
I have Discovery Plus, and let me tell you, it's fun. Okay.
I might do it. I might do it.
I did it. It's $6.99. But here's the thing. It's all of the 90 Day Universe, but also it's all of HGTV, baby.
Oh, great.
So I've been watching that, TLC. It's been a nice time. I like it.
Lovely. See, I'm sold.
I've been watching House Hunters Renovation, and last night there was a lady with her two friends. So it was a thruple of people, a non-sexual thruple, who was looking to move into a house together that they could renovate so they could have drum circle sessions. And when I tell you, I laughed the hardest I've ever laughed during that episode. Oh, wait. I was just cackling. Also, there was another episode where there was this couple looking for a house in Sherman Oaks, and they were like, he's a web designer who's a straight shooter, and she's quirky. And then you see her using like a Tostito as like a magnifying glass. And I was like, that's quirky. I love House Hunter Renovations.
Perfect. I gotta watch.
Come on, quirky. Well, that's it for this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? If you liked it, you can subscribe, you can rate it, you can leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something dirty, I will read it aloud. I don't know if I read this one yet, but okay. Hey, I thought I'd share this little dirty thought. I want to put a green troll costume and watch from the vents as you masturbate without you knowing. And as you start to orgasm, jump over you straddling and screaming, you have to pay the troll toll. Then watch your face fluctuate between pleasure and horror. I mean,
where are you masturbating where there's a vent overhead? That's my
question. I guess they think I have vents in my room.
Above you, though?
Oh, no, I don't think there's any vents above me. Oh, no, I do. I have one vent above me there.
Great.
So
great.
I guess they know what my room looks like. Ah! Ah! Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.